Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done for us. You have been so good and so kind. So we say, Lord, you are God. There is no other God but you. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Lord, I'm asking you to simply anoint me to do effectively what you called me to do a long time ago. And I ask, Lord, that you administer to the people in regard to their needs, the things that you tell us in your word that we can have. And again, Lord, we will be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you do. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. One more time, show your appreciation to the Lord. In the house of the Lord, praise God. It is a real honor and joy to be at the Thomasville Church of God. I've been here a few times before. I don't know if you would remember that or not. Hope it wasn't too bad a forgettable experience, but it's an honor to be here today with you. And try to fill in for my friend, your pastor, and hope he has a wonderful time, comes back refreshed and ready to go. Amen. Amen. I appreciate Brother Chris kind of leading the service, and appreciate my friend, Brother Tim Brinson, right here. He's been coming to some classes at the Institute that we teach down in Charlotte, and I do appreciate that, and good to see him today. Praise God. Praise God. John 13, verse 19 says, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." Jesus was referring to the betrayal of Judas right there. John 14, 29 says, "And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." There, he is talking about the coming of another comforter, the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we Pentecostals certainly appreciate that. John 16, verse 4 says, "But these things have I told you, that when it shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." In this particular context, he is talking about the hatred and the persecution that is going to come from the world in regard to the church. And I think that you and I would probably have to say that we are living in a day and time in which hatred toward God and hatred toward church is becoming more and more prevalent again in these times in which we live. Hopefully, as I read through those three scriptures right there, you can see a common theme in each of those scriptures. And that is God's ability, Jesus' ability to tell the future. God does that a lot in scripture. He tells us about the future. So you ask me why I trust in this book that we're going to be preaching out of so much today. Well, I'll tell you. There's many reasons. See, other books can give you information, but this book called the Bible can give you transformation. History books can tell you about the past, but this Bible that we're going to be preaching out of today can tell you about the past, the present, and the future. Praise God. The Bible has been accurate to this point. I cannot find one place in Scripture that it has missed it at any time. And there is certainly more to come. You see, this thing's not over. Praise God. One of these days, we're going to go to a place called heaven that the Sunday school teacher was teaching to us about today. We're going to go to our reward and the things that God has blessed us with today. So my point is, if it's been correct so far, I see no reason to doubt or question its reliability for the rest of the things that are going to happen that it tells us about in the pages that we read today. 2,600 years ago, a prophet by the name of Ezekiel prophesied about an alignment of nations that will one day attack Israel. I don't know if you've been looking at the news or been paying attention, but you have probably observed that there are people in this world that do not like Israel. These nations are aligning, and I'm primarily thinking of Iran and Russia, and we know what the scriptures teach us about these things. These nations are aligning, and they would absolutely love to destroy Israel. Again, this was talked about by Ezekiel over 2,600 years ago. Sounds to me like that God knows exactly what he is talking about. So one more time, this book is not just a book of fabricated fairy tales, but it is in reality the true word of God, spoken by God. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he is going to bring it to pass. Amen. We are also told, however, that when this attack occurs, that God will fight for his people. Ezekiel chapter 38 verses 21 through 23 says, "And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother." Notice that this is being said by the Lord God. "And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." They're going to know that God is God for two reasons. Number one, he is going to fight for his people. And they're going to know that it took God to defeat those armies that will come against Israel. Number two, they're going to know that he is God because he said this 2,600 years ago. And the fact that it happens exactly according to his word lets the world know again that God knows exactly what he is talking about. So folks, here's the deal. Sounds to me like that we are living in the very last days of the very last days when we see these alignment of nations beginning to come together. And the real point, if you don't remember anything else that I say in this sermon, I want you to remember this point right here. If you're ever going to get it right, you need to get it right now. If you're ever going to serve God, you need to serve God now. If you're ever going to give your time and your talent to God, you need to do it right now because we don't have a whole lot of time left. In fact, again, we are living in the very last days of the very last days. So the question, hopefully, that is starting to occur in your mind, what can I do to make sure that I am ready for this coming of the Lord, going to heaven, doing what I'm supposed to do for God? I'm glad you asked that question. I want to give you what I feel like is one of the best answers that I can find in the entire Word of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 and Luke chapter 18. I hope I didn't mess up the guys back in the sound booth and the PowerPoint there. I told them that's where I was going to be preaching. I went all over all those other scriptures right there. But let's get to Luke chapter 17 and Luke chapter 18. What can you do? What can I do to make a difference in these last days in which we live? Let me ask you a question. The scripture teaches us that as it was in the days of somebody, who was it? Very good, very good. There's another gentleman that is mentioned in that same passage of scripture, as it was in the days of, who was it? Noah, who else? Did I hear Lot? Starts with, yeah, it was Lot. Look at Luke chapter 17. Let's look at Noah first of all, right quick, right here. Look at Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, okay? Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. I want you to notice what it says. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be, in the days of the Son of Man." Notice, "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Did you see what it said right there? It says, as it was in the days of Noah, that's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes back. Notice the four things that it talks about right there. It says they ate, they drank, they married, and they were given in marriage. I interpret that to mean that fathers gave their daughters away in marriage. Okay, that's my interpretation of that. Notice that Jesus does not, in this passage of Scripture, reference the evil, the wickedness, the violence that Genesis chapter 6 tells us about that was going on in those particular in that particular day of Noah. He does not mention those things. And I guess that raises a question in regard to me. Why does Jesus not talk about the things that are obvious in Genesis chapter 6? And instead, he mentions things like eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Let's look at verses 28 and 29. Let's see what it says about Lot. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank. Sounds like they like to eat and drink. Who's that sound like? They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Next verse of scripture. But the same day, Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Once again, I want you to look at the scripture. Notice when Jesus talks about Lot, he does not reference the sin and the depravity and the perversions of Genesis chapter 19 that we like to associate with Lot. And certainly those things are real issues that we need to deal with. But Jesus does not do that. No. Instead, once again, Jesus will talk about the fact that they were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. A couple of things to note right here. Number one, none of the things that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 17 are a sin unto themselves. If they are, we're all in trouble. Because what are you planning on doing after church? You're going to go get something to eat, aren't you? And you're going to have something to drink with your meal. Do we have any men in here that are married? Raise your hand. You better be smiling because she's sitting right beside of you. Amen. All right. I'm not a builder, but maybe some of you are. I heard Chris talking about he's going to build that log cabin around this place. Okay. That's great. Good luck, Chris. I won't be here. Because I am not a builder. I mean, we buy, we sell. These are all things that we do on a daily basis. And again, none of those things in and by themselves are a sin unto themselves. One more time, I'll say it. If they are, we are all in trouble because we do these things constantly. And we're members of the Thomasville Church of God. Praise God. We're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're doing the exact same things that Jesus said they would be doing in the last days. What's going on right here? What is Jesus trying to tell us? These are daily activities that are essential in order to live our lives in this world. And that is the point that Jesus is trying to make in this passage of Scripture. People in Noah's days and people in Lot's days, just like people in our day, were living their lives doing ordinary, everyday things to live life normally in the time in which they lived. Just like we are today, living our lives, normal, everyday lives, doing the things that Jesus talked about right here in Luke chapter 17, doing those things as though everything is fine. Now listen, church. Now here's where we're going to get to a point that we need to also remember. It's bad when that's the way that it is in the world. But it's even worse when that's the way that it is in the church. Let me explain myself right here. Again, I'm not condemning any of those activities that Jesus was talking about right here. We have to do them in order to live. That's not that. And again, that's the point that Jesus was trying to make. But here's the thing. People in the world are doing those things daily, normally, as though nothing is going to happen. As though this thing is just going to continue on and on and on, and nothing's going to interrupt their playtime. Nothing's going to interrupt their activities that they are doing. But here's the thing about the church. The church, yes, we need to do those things, but we do those things understanding that one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Oh, hallelujah. Two are going to be at the meal. One is going to be taken. The other is left. Two is going to be in the field. One is going to be taken. The other, they're doing everyday activities right there. But Jesus is saying there is a difference between one and the other. There is a difference, church, between us and them out there in the world. Now, I agree again with what the Sunday school teacher was teaching today and what Brother Chris said about trying to reach out to those people that are out there in the world and bring them in to the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. That's what God wants us to do. But when the church's attitude is, everything's fine, we don't have to worry anything about it, nothing is going to happen, we're going to keep on eating, we're going to keep on drinking, we're going to keep on marrying, we're going to keep on building, we're going to keep on planting, we're going to keep on doing all of these things as though nothing is going to happen. Jesus was emphasizing that as a sign. But of course, in Noah's days, something did happen because the flood came. And in Lot's days, something did happen because fire and brimstone came from heaven and destroyed them. Despite everything in our world, what is our attitude toward eternity? Despite everything that's going on, how do we view the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back soon? Again, we are living in the very last days of the very last days. I read chapter 17, verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Day after day after day, and then the Son of Man is going to be revealed, and we're going to be taken. Oh, hallelujah. So what can I do? I don't want to fall into the trap of living day by day as though nothing is going to happen. What can I do in order to make a difference? What can we do as a people in order to make a difference? I want us to go to Luke chapter 18 now. I want us to notice what Jesus emphasizes right here. I want you to understand that Luke chapter 18 goes right with Luke chapter 17. The Bible was not written in chapter and divisions. That didn't occur till about 500 years ago. It made it easy to reference scriptures. That's good. But sometimes it seems to fractionalize the text and destroy the message of the text. And if you'll even notice right there, Luke chapter 18 begins with the word and. And we know that and is a conjunction word. So what happened in 17 is conjoined to what's going to happen in verse 18 or chapter 18. So here Jesus goes. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There are a lot of things that we can do to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But in this particular context, after talking about Noah, after talking about Lot, Jesus is going to talk about prayer. You want to know what you can do? You want to know why it's so hard for you to do it? It's because prayer is one of the main keys to you and me living a victorious Christian life and being able to deal with these days and times in which we're living, and to also to do the work and the function of ministry that God has called us to do in these days and times. So Jesus said again, here it goes, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always means always, to pray and not to faint. That means pray always. On the way up here this morning, coming up 85, I was praying. Now, I didn't have my eyes closed. I'm not as dumb as I may look, okay? But I was praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up prayer. Give up. Oh, I started to name some things that I, no. Give up other things, but don't give up prayer. Don't give up any of your spiritual disciplines. Let's put it that way. But especially don't give up prayer. And then go to verse 2. Notice what Jesus says right here. Saying, there was in a city. You're familiar with this parable, I'm sure. There was in a city a judge. Here's his description. Boy, I don't want this to be my description, but this is his description. Which feared not God, neither regarded man. He was not afraid of God because he was a judge. My son works in the courtroom in Mecklenburg County. He works in that courtroom where they try a lot of the big murder cases and things like that. He works with the judge in there. And that judge, he is the ultimate final authority. It's his courtroom. He can decide what goes on and what happens, what takes place. He is the judge. That's the way this judge felt right here. And because he felt that way, he said, I don't fear God. I don't regard man. God can't get me. Man cannot touch me. I'm the judge. Look at verse 3. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, this judge that didn't fear God or regard man, a widow, avenge me of mine adversary. When we look at these two pictures of the two people that are identified in the text, we see total power and authority, and we see the ultimate in weakness. This widow is a metaphor for weakness. She is a widow. She is definitely not God, and she is not a man. But she comes to this judge, and he says to this judge, I want you to avenge me of mine adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, here we go. This is his self-portrait, his self-testimony. Though I fear not God nor regard man. Don't fear God, man. And this woman, what? She can't get me. She can't intimidate. So it says, he would not. He wouldn't do it. No, woman, I'm not going to avenge you of your adversary. I don't care about you. I don't care about your problem. I don't care about anything like that. I am not going to avenge you. And he would not for a while. Go to the next verse of scripture. Yet, because this widow troubleth me. Oh, glory. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Judge said, again, here we go. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. But this widow, she's got me. She has affected me because she keeps on coming back. She will not stop. She's going to keep on till she weary me and wear me out. I can almost imagine that it went something like this. First day she showed up. Judge, need for you to avenge me and my adversary. He said, I'm not going to do it. Get out of my courtroom. Next day, guess who's there? The widow. She comes back. Judge, I need for you to avenge me, my adversary. Woman, no. Wasn't you here yesterday? Yes. I told you no yesterday. No still means no today. No, I am not going to avenge you of your adversary. Third day. Guess what? She comes back. He looks back there. You're kidding me. Judge, I need for you to avenge me of mine adversary. He said, woman, you're starting to get on my nerves just a little bit right here. You're really starting to bother me. Now, I told you no 2 days ago. I told you no yesterday. And I'm telling you no right now. Now, listen. Do you understand the word? Do you understand the word no? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? No, I will not avenge you of your adversary. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. And you cannot touch me. You're not going to get to me. No. Fourth day. He looked out there, dropped his head, shook his head. Woman, judge, I need for you to avenge me of mine adversary. Now, woman, you are really starting to get to me. I have told you, I have told you, I have told you that I am not going to do this. So I'm telling you, this is the last time. Now, you have been here for 4 straight days, and this is the last time. I am not going to avenge you of your adversary. And if you come back into my courtroom one more time, I am going to have you put in jail. She looked at him and said, Judge, I'll be here tomorrow. Put me in jail if you want to. But when I get out, I'm going to be right back here. I'm going to be right back here because I want you to avenge me of my adversary. And I don't want to be too loud, but he probably screamed a little bit. Ah! Okay, woman. It's obvious that you mean business. I will avenge you of your adversary. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Are you getting the message here today? Are you understanding what Jesus is talking about right here? Let's go on to verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, he said a lot. I don't fear God, don't regard man. But the thing that Jesus wanted to pinpoint right here is that he said, this woman's continual coming is going to get to me. Therefore, I am going to avenge her of her adversary. And that is the lesson that Jesus is communicating right here, is that we don't stop. We keep on coming. And we keep on coming. And we keep on coming. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what vengeance you need against the enemy in your life. But I'm telling you, the key to it is the fact that you will not quit. You will not stop. You will keep on coming because you understand you can't do anything about it. You are a metaphor for weakness. You're like this widow who had nobody but her own self and her own tenacity to get her to in order to before the judge. And the judge finally had to give in. Oh, praise God. So hear what the unjust judge saith. Let's go to verse 7. And shall not God. Are you hearing me? And shall not God avenge his own elect? That's you. That's me. Okay. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Wait, here we go. Which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now it says what it means and means what it says. You and I, we call upon the Lord. Lord, I need help with this. I need help with that. Lord, we call upon the Lord. And it seems like, seems like he bears long with them, just like this judge. You know, He bears along with us, and we pray about it, and we pray for a day, and nothing happens. We pray for a week, nothing happens. We pray for a month, nothing happens. We may even pray for years, nothing happens. But the point is, he says, he bears long with them, but we continue to cry out unto him day and night. I'm telling you, don't give up praying. Whatever you're praying about, whatever God says in his word that you can have, though you may not have received it yet, don't quit praying. Don't quit praying about that lost loved one. Oh, especially to that. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying about that need, that situation that's going on. Don't quit praying, because we got to call upon him. But one of these days, he is going to avenge us. Let's go to verse 8. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Ooh, we got a problem right there. I'll explain it in just a minute. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, preacher, you're confusing me. Because you just said in verse 7 that he may bear long with us. And now you're saying it says that he will avenge them speedily. Preacher, you've got me confused. I hope I straightened this out. Help me, Lord, right here. Here's the point. Verse 7 was first. It's the seventh verse, but I mean it was before verse 8. First, before verse 8. He says, he lets us know that it may be a while. It may take a while. Why? God is God. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. He knows when you need it. He knows all of these things. And God is going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. So when it says speedily, the point is, you may have to pray a day. You may have to pray a week. You may have to pray a month. You may have to pray a year. You may have to pray longer than that. But when God gets ready to do it, that's where speedily comes in. When God gets ready to do it, he does it quick. Praise God. I mean, God is God. He can speak the world into existence by his simple word and the power of his spirit. When God gets ready to do it, it's going to happen speedily. Oh, hallelujah to God. Somebody give God praise in the house of the Lord. I remember when I was a child growing up, my father was killed in a car accident before I was 4 years old. Left me and my mother. And I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old, I don't know when it was, a situation came into our family that wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. Even as a child, I knew it wasn't right. It wasn't of God. Now I'm a child. Who's going to listen to me? I'll tell you who's going to listen to me. God's going to listen to me. And even as a child, the only thing that I knew to do was pray. So I started praying. And every night that I went to bed, that I prayed, which was a lot, I asked God to move that situation out of our family. Nine, 10, 11, 12, reached my teenage years, 13, 14, 15, 16. Every night when I went to bed, I asked God to move that situation out of our family because I knew it wasn't God. Now, believe it or not, young people, I was your age one time. And I understand how easy it is for young people to get discouraged about spiritual things. And how easy it is for young people to give up on praying or the things of God because they don't see maybe some immediate results. But God wouldn't turn loose on me. about this. And I pray, God, he does not turn loose of any of you in regard to anything that's going on in your life that you need to talk to God about. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. Find me. Speedily. There came a moment. Something that had been bedded in our family for years. In one day's time. Completely changed. And was completely gone. We never ever had to deal with it again. So I'm telling you, when God says, though he bear long with you, God knows what he's doing. But don't quit praying, because one of these days, he's going to do something, and he's going to do it speedily. Don't give up. Praise God. I'm so glad that I did not give up. I'm trying to encourage you not to give up on prayer. Keep on praying. See what God is able to do. One more time, would you give God praise in the house of the Lord? I don't know how many people I'm talking to today, but I'm talking to you. Or God's talking to you through this. I'm nothing. God wants you to understand, be faithful to prayer. God wants you to understand, don't give up. God wants you to understand, he's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. It says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm closing with this. We've got time to eat. We've got time to drink. We've got time to marry, give in marriage. We've got time to buy. We've got time to sell. We've got time to plant. We've got time to do all of these other things. So when the Son of Man cometh, shall you find faith on? But do we have enough faith in God to take time to pray about the situation at hand that we're dealing with? Once again, we can do all those other things. Those are normal things. We have to do them. But when Jesus comes, will he find that you and I have enough faith in him, regardless of how long he may bear with us, to pray unto him? Stand together with us, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A few years ago, Lord really dealt with my heart how important the altar is. If you don't want to come, that's fine. But if you don't mind coming to the altar and spending time in prayer. And I want to direct you in regard to this prayer, if you will allow me to do so. But I would invite you to come to this altar right now. If you're out there in the congregation and you don't know Jesus, come on to the altar. I'm not going to point you out, pick you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just simply come to this altar and say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you forgive me? I want to serve you. I want to live for you. Would you come? Praise God. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. I'm not going to force you. Okay. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray. I want us to pray four things. Very quick. Number one, I want you to pray, God, make me a prayer warrior. Are you bold enough to make that type of prayer? God, make me a prayer warrior. God, give us a revival. God, number three, give us an outpouring of your spirit. And number four, God, let the convicting power of your spirit work in our church and in our lives. Let's pray real quick. Father, I pray that you would make every person in Thomasville Church of God the prayer warriors that they ought to be for the glory of God. Lord, touch us with a burden to pray and to call upon you, Lord, and to be faithful unto our life of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would give Thomasville and me and a revival. Lord, those things that are of you that maybe we've allowed to die in our lives, would you revive those again and bring those to life again? Lord, give us a revival. And Lord, I pray for a great outpouring of your Spirit upon Thomasville Church of God, upon every individual. Lord, we're absolutely nothing without your Spirit. We're totally and completely and fully dependent upon your Spirit. Give us an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that the convicting power of your Spirit will work in our lives. Lord, in the name of Jesus, convict us, purge us, cleanse us, sanctify us, Lord, in regard to the things of the world. And let us give ourselves unto prayer, Lord. Fill us again with your Spirit. Send us forth into ministry, into the harvest field. And we'll praise you for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to turn it over to Chris in just a second. Just let me say this. Thank you for standing this long. Say, God, dealing with some people about prayer. I'm going to pray more. Good. That's good. That's good. I preached for I don't know how long about prayer. All right. But tomorrow, it just don't click. Well, Tuesday, start all over again. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't let failure stop you for eternity. God bless you, Chris. Before I get started again, amen. Praise the Lord.